This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Signs you're avoiding difficult conversations and what it is costing your leadership voice. What silence is quietly doing to your authority and your team? In short, avoiding difficult conversations does not protect your leadership voice. It hollows it out. Each conversation you delay sends your team a signal about what you will and will not confront, and they adjust their behaviour accordingly. Your silence is not neutral. It is a message. The signs of avoidance are often disguised as reasonable caution or good timing. The cost is not just one awkward moment avoided. It is accumulated damage to your authority and your team's trust. Recognising the pattern is the first act of leadership required to reverse it. Definition: avoiding difficult conversations is a pattern of behaviour in which a leader repeatedly delays, softens, redirects, or abandons conversations involving conflict, performance concerns, or uncomfortable truths, resulting in unresolved tension and gradual erosion of leadership credibility and team trust. Few leaders think of themselves as avoiders. The manager who delays a performance conversation tells himself he is waiting for the right moment. The team lead who addresses friction through a group email rather than a direct conversation believes she is being professional. The senior director who gives vague, encouraging feedback on work that genuinely needs to change thinks she is being kind. None of them see themselves as avoiding difficult conversations. They see themselves as being careful. That gap between how avoidance feels from the inside and what it looks like from the outside is exactly why it does so much damage before anyone notices. Your team notices long before you do. They read the postponed meetings, the non-committal feedback, the careful group emails. They draw conclusions about your leadership voice, your courage, and what you will and will not protect. By the time most leaders see the pattern clearly, it has already been running for months. What follows are the specific signs to look for, a way to diagnose where you stand today, and a first move toward changing it. Why avoidance looks like something more reasonable. The reason avoiding difficult conversations is so easy to miss is that it disguises itself as virtue, patience, empathy, professionalism, measured thinking. Every delay feels justified in the moment, and every justification sounds reasonable when you say it aloud. The human brain is genuinely wired to treat interpersonal threat the same way it treats physical danger. When a conversation carries the risk of conflict, rejection, or loss of relationship, the discomfort you feel is real, not irrational. The problem is that the instinct driving it, to avoid the threat and wait for a safer moment, is one that never gets corrected if you simply keep following it. The safer moment rarely arrives on its own. Here is the truth of that the leaders I have watched lose authority over the years rarely lost it through bad decisions. They lost it through accumulated silences. Small things left unsaid, compounding season by season until the team stopped believing their leader would ever speak plainly. 6 signs your leadership voice is being silenced by avoidance. 1. Your feedback circles the problem without landing on it. What it looks like: you give feedback that sounds thorough and considered, but never names the actual issue. You talk about opportunities for growth and development areas without saying clearly what needs to stop, start, or change. The person leaves the conversation unsure whether they're in trouble or being praised. Why it happens: naming the real issue feels like an attack. You have confused directness with unkindness, and so you soften the message until the message disappears. Why it matters: vague feedback does not protect the person receiving it. It leaves them without the information they need to change, and it leaves you without the credibility that honest, specific feedback builds over time. Your leadership voice depends on people trusting that when you speak, you mean what you say, what to do. Before your next feedback conversation, write one sentence that names the specific behaviour and its specific impact. Practice saying it aloud. That sentence is the core of your message. Build the rest of the conversation around it, not away from it. Eamon's note: I spent years giving feedback that made me feel good and the other person feel confused. The kindest thing I ever learned to do was say the hard thing clearly. 2. Use group communication to avoid individual accountability. What it looks like: when a specific person is underperforming or behaving in a way that is damaging the team, you send a message to the whole group. You frame it as a general reminder. Everyone in the room knows who it is aimed at. The person it is aimed at knows too why it happens. The group message feels like action. You have addressed it, technically. but you have done so without the direct discomfort of a one-to-one conversation. Why it matters. This approach is one of the most corrosive habits a leader can develop. It punishes people who are not the problem, embarrasses the person who is, and communicates to your entire team that you will not speak plainly when it matters. Your leadership voice is heard most clearly in how you handle individual accountability, not in group announcements. What to do? If a message is really meant for one person, send it to one person directly. If you are not sure how to start it, this approach to starting a difficult conversation can help you find the first sentence. Eamon's note. A group email is not a conversation. It is a notice posted on a wall. Nobody changes because of a notice on a wall. 3. You keep adding the conversation to next week's calendar. What it looks like. The conversation is on your mind. You know it needs to happen. But something always makes this week the wrong week. A deadline. A project crunch. A sense that the person seems stressed. It has been on your mental list for 3 weeks now. Maybe 4. Why it happens. Avoidance is self-reinforcing. The longer a conversation waits, the more weight it accumulates, and the harder it becomes to start. The delay justifies itself. Why it matters. Every week that a necessary conversation does not happen, the problem it needs to address continues. The team member keeps working with incorrect assumptions. The conflict keeps generating friction. The performance gap keeps widening, and your leadership voice keeps shrinking, because your team can see the delay even when you cannot. What to do? Set a 48-hour rule. Once you have identified that a direct conversation is needed, commit to having it within 48 hours. You are not required to have all the answers. You are required to begin. Learning to stay grounded during tense conversations can make that first step feel less daunting. Eamon's note. I have never once looked back on a difficult conversation I finally had and wished I had waited longer. 4. You overprepare as a form of postponement. This one surprises people. What it looks like. You spend hours preparing for a conversation that could have happened in 20 minutes. You research every angle, write extensive notes, draft, and redraft your opening sentence. The preparation never quite feels finished, so the conversation keeps getting pushed back. Why it happens. Preparation feels like progress. It looks like responsibility. But when preparation becomes indefinite, it is no longer preparation. It is a sophisticated form of avoidance that is especially common in conscientious, high-performing leaders. Why it matters. This sign is the one most leaders miss entirely, because it feels like the opposite of avoidance. But the effect is identical. The conversation does not happen. The problem persists. The team waits. And say it right every time. I address this directly as the rehearsal trap the gap between knowing what to say and actually saying it under real pressure. A script helps, but only if you use it. What to do? Give yourself a preparation limit. 30 minutes maximum for most workplace conversations. Write your opening sentence, your main point, and your desired outcome. Then stop preparing and start the conversation. Eamon's note. Over-preparation is procrastination wearing a professional suit. I recognize it because I wore that suit for years. 5. Conflict on your team gets managed around you, not through you. What it looks like. Two team members are in ongoing conflict. Rather than coming to you, they work around each other. Colleagues quietly compensate. Projects are restructured to keep certain people apart. You are the last to know, or you know, but have not addressed it directly with the people involved. Why it happens. If your team has learned that bringing conflict to you results in vague guidance or no clear resolution, they stop bringing it. They solve it themselves, imperfectly, or they carry it silently. Either way, your leadership voice is no longer part of the solution. Why it matters. Conflict that is managed around a leader rather than through one is a reliable sign that the team does not trust the leader to engage with real tension. Rebuilding the trust requires you to step toward conflict rather than away from it. The deal method for conflict resolution gives you a clear structure for doing exactly that, and the strong method can help you build the kind of conversational habits that prevent conflict from going underground in the first place. What to do? Ask directly. Schedule a conversation with each person involved. Do not wait for them to come to you. Eamon's note. When your team stops bringing you their real problems, you have not been protected from difficulty. You have been removed from leadership. 6. You soften hard truths until they become untruths. What it looks like. A project is failing. A team member's behavior is damaging morale. A senior stakeholder's expectations are unrealistic. You address each of these situations, that the person you are speaking with comes away thinking things are broadly fine and need only minor adjustment, because that is what you communicated. Why it happens: you want to protect the relationship. You believe that softening the message is a form of respect, but there is a point at which softening becomes distortion, and distortion is a failure of your leadership voice regardless of the intention behind it. Why it matters: if your team cannot trust the accuracy of what you tell them, they cannot use your guidance to make good decisions. Leaders who consistently soften hard truths create teams that are surprised by consequences they should have seen coming. For meetings where conflict surfaces in real time, knowing how to handle conflict during meetings gives you a practical tool for staying honest under pressure. What to do: before any difficult conversation, ask yourself, if this person acts only on what I'm about to tell them, will they understand the real situation? If the answer is no, revise what you're planning to say. Eamon's note: there is a difference between being kind and being misleading. I spent too long calling the second one the first. The root under all of it: these 6 signs look like separate problems. They are not. They are all expressions of the same root. You have learned to treat short-term relational comfort as more important than long-term leadership effectiveness. That is not a character flaw. It is a trained response. Every time you avoided a difficult conversation and the immediate discomfort passed, your brain filed that away as evidence that avoidance works. The problem is that it only works in the short term. The relationship does not heal. The performance does not improve. The trust does not deepen. It simply waits. And while it waits, it quietly compounds. The leaders I respect most are not the ones who find these conversations easy. They are the ones who find them hard and have them anyway. That gap between the discomfort and the action is where leadership voice is forged. You can also learn how to advocate for your team confidently with senior leadership, which often requires the same kind of courage you need to address difficult conversations closer to home. Where do you stand right now? A leadership voice diagnostic. Read each statement below. Answer yes or no based on the last 30 days. I have given feedback to someone on my team that named a specific behavior and its specific impact. I have addressed a conflict between team members directly with the people involved, not through a group message. I have had a conversation about performance or conduct within 48 hours of deciding it was needed. I have told a senior colleague or stakeholder something they did not want to hear, clearly and directly. I have not restructured a project or workflow to avoid a conversation that needs to happen. The difficult conversations I know are needed right now number fewer than 2. If you answered yes to 5 or 6, your leadership voice is in reasonable shape. Stay attentive to the first sign above. Vague feedback is the subtlest form of avoidance and the hardest to catch in yourself. If you answered yes to 3 or 4, avoidance is present, but not yet entrenched. Pick one conversation from your list and commit to having it this week. Use a clear structure. The Courage Method gives you a step-by-step approach to feedback conversations you have been putting off. If you answered yes to 2 or fewer, the pattern is likely already affecting how your team sees you. That is not a reason for shame. It is information you can act on. The Say It Right Every Time framework gives you word-for-word scripts to use in the exact situations you have been avoiding. Start with the smallest conversation on your list, not the largest. Build the muscle with something manageable. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. The first move that changes the pattern. You do not fix avoiding difficult conversations by having the hardest conversation on your list tomorrow. That is not courage. That is pressure, and pressure without preparation produces poor results. The first move is simpler. Write down the one conversation you have been delaying the longest. Not to prepare for it exhaustively, just to name it clearly. Give it a date, not someday, a specific date within the next 5 working days. Then prepare one sentence that opens it honestly. That is all you need to begin. Your leadership voice does not come back all at once. It comes back conversation by conversation, each one slightly more direct than the one before. Every difficult conversation you avoid is one your team has already noticed. Every one you have is a deposit back into the credibility account that avoidance has been quietly withdrawing from. Avoiding difficult conversations has a cost that compounds silently. Facing them, one at a time, is how you start paying it back. Frequently asked questions. What does avoiding difficult conversations mean in leadership? Avoiding difficult conversations in leadership means repeatedly delaying, softening, or sidestepping conversations about performance, conflict, or misalignment. Over time, this pattern strips a leader of credibility and trust because the team sees the silence and draws their own conclusions about what it means. How do you know if you are avoiding difficult conversations at work? Common signs include vague feedback that never names the real issue, sudden calendar delays when tension arises, and addressing problems through group emails rather than direct dialogue. If you feel relief when a difficult conversation gets postponed, the relief itself is a warning signal worth examining. What does avoiding difficult conversations cost your leadership voice? Avoiding difficult conversations gradually erodes your leadership voice by signaling to your team that you will not address problems directly. People stop bringing you real issues, performance gaps widen, and your authority becomes nominal rather than earned. The longer the pattern holds, the harder it is to reverse. Why do strong leaders avoid difficult conversations? Even experienced leaders avoid difficult conversations because the discomfort feels immediate while the consequences feel distant. Fear of damaging a relationship, uncertainty about the right words, or a genuine belief that the problem will resolve itself are the most common reasons. None of these fears disappear by waiting. How can I start having difficult conversations I have been avoiding? Start with the smallest conversation on your list, not the largest. Prepare one clear sentence that names the specific issue without blame. Use a structured approach like the Courage Method to build the script before you sit down. The preparation itself reduces the anxiety that has been causing the delay. Does avoiding one difficult conversation really affect your leadership voice? One avoided conversation really destroys a leadership voice. But avoidance is almost never a single event. Each time you postpone a difficult conversation, the next one feels harder. The pattern compounds, and your team begins to read your silence as a permanent leadership style rather than a temporary hesitation. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.